everyone. Welcome to the Flight of the Next podcast. I am here with Alex, who is in Te Whanganui Ātara, Wellington, Danny on Gadigal land in Sydney, and I'm also on Gadigal land in Sydney. We'll cover the two matches that we had this weekend. First of all, the women played Western Sydney Wanderers. That was a 2-0 win to us, the main train with two goals. How did we feel about the game? It was great to win the last game of the season. Alex, I think you were the only person who was actually there. How did it feel?
Yep, it was good. The crowd got really behind them. It was a good crowd, about 1,200, which is better than we've seen in the past for the women. Pride round as well. It was great. Great celebration. The kits looked amazing. The fans were getting into it as well. And a great performance to top it all off. So I think it's all positives there.
Yeah, look, it was a really good game to watch. It could have been very different. I think for the last game of the season, we'd not made the finals. It could all have been a little bit of a after Lord Mayor show sort of thing. But actually, it's a really entertaining game to watch. I thought we played really well. A couple of decent goals and good performances right across the team. So, yeah, enjoyable game to watch, and I thought the team really showed they were sort of a bit too late maybe, but back to sort of how they were playing earlier in the season when they were actually playing some really good football and putting some good combinations together. I really enjoyed watching it as a game. I guess maybe there's no pressure on it. Maybe that was made it easy to watch. Maybe that was easier for the players to play as well.
Yeah, for sure. It was sort of one of those classic Porirua Park performances that we've come to expect from them. And I think for the last podcast when we talked about this match coming up, there wasn't an awful lot of hope that we would have something to play for when Wanderers had a lot to play for. In fact, they've missed out on finals. So I think it's really good to see that we've managed to do that. One of the really nice moments is Amy Daniele getting her, I think she might be the last person in the squad who didn't have minutes this season. Riley Foster was obviously very stoked to come off and have Amy come on. So what a moment.
Yeah, look, really nice to see that. And luckily we were 2-0 up, so we were able to do it without really affecting the game as well. Riley Foster seems stoked to do everything. So, yeah, I don't know what that is. But, yeah, I've never really seen someone so happy to come off. You know, I get with Foster, I think she's obviously a decent keeper, but I get a feeling she's also probably quite important in the squad for her vibes, if you like, as a vibe merchant, for her positivity. And she always seems to be, you know, the big personality of the group, and the way that she seems to support the other goalkeepers, Bree Edwards as well as Danielle. It's really nice to see. And it was good that Danielle came on and she got to make a save. Which was probably good for her as well, as she managed to do that. And I think Paul Temple said that would mean she's now, whatever else happens, she can say she's been a professional footballer.
She's been called up into the Ferns squad as well, seeing as Bree withdrew. So that's really exciting for her to get that strong. All of a sudden it all happens with your Phoenix debut and being in the Ferns camp. It does remind me slightly of when Bree got her very first minutes. Was a similar thing. Lily was actually going to go to Ferns camp and it was outside the international window, or the Knicks were playing anyway, and Bree got that last 10 or 15 minutes. It was at Wollongong. I remember just how excited Lily was to come off the field, and she was like so weirdly excited. She was sitting on the grass, because when you're goalkeeper you just play the whole time, right? And she was like, she didn't sit on the seats, and we're like, Lily, you know you're allowed to sit like on the seats on the bench, right? She's just like sitting on the grass. So it was just very funny. It was very wholesome, that moment, and it seemed to be very much the same for Daniele. So how good? What did we think of the kits?
I really like the kits. I think they weren't, some people said they're a bit too muted, as in sort of the rainbow colouring is just, you know, on the shoulders a bit smaller. It could have been a bit more bold, but I think they're actually really quite classy. I would, you know, the white looks quite good, and then with the rainbow on the shoulders, I think they would be a nice kit to have. The players seem to like them, and more of them.
I'm a really big fan of the black kit. The white one, not so much. I'm not sure I'm not sure how good the rainbow goes with the white, but it's a great initiative. And the black looks fantastic. I was going to bid on one of the match worn shirts, but they're just a bit too on the expensive side for me.
They already are, aren't they? The prices have gone up, and it's good to see Mackenzie Barry at the top of that list. I think she's on more than $500 now. And I would say that those prices will explode on Sunday evening. I liked the black, but it looks too much like our away kit. Whereas the white is something quite different, and I don't think the club has done a white kit for quite a while. And I think the fact that you could get that Indigenous design down the front, it was like understated, but I thought that was something nice about it. There's next year or the year after that. There's definitely time to play around and do something a bit more bold in the future.
That is true. I don't know if you remember this, but I've seen some highlights of the Phoenix wearing kind of a white kit just with like the fire logo on it or emoji. Do you guys remember that? I'm not really old enough, but I think that's one of the white kits we've done, and that looks horrible. I think it's one of the worst kits we've ever produced. So it's nice to see the club putting some effort into that.
That wasn't the Hobbit kit round, was it? We're talking a few years back.
I have no idea.
Did a special kit for the Hobbit, Lisa of the Hobbit, the film. I think they might have had fire on it. I can't remember.
It was a one-off, and it didn't look that good. Like it's a collectible, but
it's probably that one then.
Aesthetics.
I think Roy Krishna scored in it, and it's in his gold montage, and I watch it every now and then.
What are your favourite and least favourite kits over the years? We've gone a little bit off track here, but having sort of covered what the matters were for the women's game, what's your favourite, what's your least favourite?
I'm a bit of a traditional one. You know, I like the black and white black and yellow stripes. So one of those, I couldn't tell you exactly which year, but sort of pretty simple. Possibly when we get more to the yellow, we started off with sort of a gold colour, I think, first sort of few years. Then it started going a bit more yellow. So just a basic clean black and yellow stripe to me would be my favourite home kit. And away kit, I quite like the white. It can look quite nice. Couldn't tell you which one, though. But there's definitely a few more things I could do to play with it. I like diagonal stripes across. I'd love to see a kit with yellow and black diagonal stripes across, maybe a white one. The reverse kit, but yeah, basic clean white away kit for me, probably good. And yeah, just a traditional black and yellow stripes.
Yeah, I really like the kind of Maori element that they've put into it in recent years. I think the kind of koru design goes really well this year and did last year as well. I also really like the black kit this season. I think that's probably my favorite kit. I think there's one from 2009, 2010, maybe. I've got that wrong. I bought a kit off Trade Me. It's got a few signatures. Might be a bit later than that, actually, which I really like. It's kind of that gold you talked about before, Danny. I was just looking behind me to see if I have it in reach, but can't see it.
I really like the black kit, the away kit that we have this year. I think that's beautiful. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful kit. I think my favourite one off, though, is the Wollongong kit, which I never bought one, and I really regret it now. Really regret not having bought one. So that's the red Wollongong Wolves-inspired kit. But, yeah, I mean, it's a bit hit and miss sometimes. And then I know that in the Reebok days, at least in the early Reebok days, there was, like, no choice. You basically got, like, this is the shirt, and you choose the colours. And that's why we got that really weird, basically just black with white trim and a little bit of yellow.
The very first year kit we had was awful. It was basically just a rehash of the Knights kit, which didn't like that at all. I don't think anybody did. But yeah, I've got a feeling in the early years it was you had your kit and then your away kit was basically had to be a white kit, a bit like Americans do with baseball. So you didn't have much leeway to play around with it, really.
I have to say, people complain a little bit about Paladin in some ways, and I do get it, but I know the club is happy with how accommodating Paladin is with, like, messing around with the little bits and pieces around the edges of, you know, even things like the tracksuits for that coming year. The club will discuss, like, oh, we want to have this stripe end here and this color here, and that it's just like they go into these minutiae of how even just like off-field stuff looks, and Paladin are very, very understanding and very accommodating, which is great. But apparently it's why our kits don't come out quite as early as they should, because with the clubs fussing over every little detail, it is nice to know that Paladin's willing to do that, because there are definitely a lot of kit suppliers out there who are just like, these are the shapes and sizes and designs you've got, and that's it. Whereas we get something bespoke every year, every kit, every time. Beautiful.
Yeah, I think the club's done a good job the past four or five years. Even the ones that I haven't particularly liked myself. I'm not a big fan of the blue kits, the away kits, but you know, they've definitely put a lot of effort into it in terms of the details and all the little things around the edges, which sort of, you know, makes you more likely to shell out the $100 or $110 or whatever it is, because obviously they're not cheap. So the fact that someone's put a bit of thought into it rather than just gone, okay, basic template, throw the colours on and that's it, it's pretty nice. And yeah, certainly the Maori stuff that we've had recently has really, I think, put our kits slightly above some of you'll find in some of the league. I mean, there's some nice kits out there, but that really, I think, ties into our identity. I'd be interested to see whether the Auckland team will lean that way as well. Not sure yet. We'll see, I guess.
Well, their black and their home kit doesn't at this point, but, you know, you never know what will develop. Any more thoughts on kits generally, and we'll move on to the men's game otherwise? All right, so the men, obviously not the last round of the season. We've still got four more to go after the match that we had on Sunday. We had a 1-0 win at Sky Stadium against Brisbane Roar. Crave with a goal within 2 minutes. And then I have to say a very, very stressful 88 minutes following that, including a couple of calls that were red cards or could have been red cards. I'm glad we've got the points. What did you guys think?
It was a very typical this season Phoenix game, I thought. It felt like we were defending all the time. Luckily we got the goal early. We felt like we were defending all the time. But actually, if you look at the number of chances and the quality of chances people had, we had more better chances than they did. It's just that we only had like four or five. It seemed like we had four or five chances, whereas they were camped around our box all the time. But our, you know, Payton did chiefly low block, seemed to keep them out all the time. Plus, AP Paulson doing a couple of good saves. It wasn't pretty again, and that's a bit of a worry, because we haven't had many pretty games in the past three or four. Well, maybe four or five games where we've been very much on top, and we've got some important games coming up where we have to win. You know, we'll need to be at our best to win as well. So wasn't great, but we were missing, obviously missing Tim Payne at right back, and that really showed. We had Salas and Altai seemed to be switching around at right back there, and they just weren't at the races in the first half. Brisbane were just taking advantage of all the time. They just weren't communicating, weren't sure who was there, who should have been there. Finn Sermon thankfully had the lucky bandage on and managed to cover that up a lot of the time. But yeah, you could see that wasn't working, and Chiefy switched that by putting Sheridan on in the second half. But so it wasn't pretty watch. It was good that we won, and we actually could have had a couple more goals as well. I mean, obviously Costa's one was, you know, millimeters off, and I think Ball had a good one as well. Old. So it was a 1-0 victory. It was dug out. We need to start getting better as we move into finals, I think.
Yeah, well, there is kind of like a thing that Chiefy does change what we do, and like kind of the mentality of the team changes when we do go ahead, or depending on what the score is at that time. I think scoring early isn't the best thing in terms of entertainment value or in terms of trying to go for it for the Phoenix. But, you know, whatever gets the win, really, we're doing well at the top of the table. I'm pretty sure the time's passed where we can kind of question Chiefy. I'll just say let's go for it.
He did bring on OVH at the end, took off ball, so he did actually go for it a little bit sort of later on in the second half. So I don't think he was completely sitting back as such. And as I said, Brisbane weren't particularly causing us that many problems. Again, they had a lot of the ball, but we've seen plenty of teams with lots of the ball in our area and around our box, and we don't really need to seem to worry. We brought Kelly Heald on to go to five at the back, and it just seemed fairly safe. So I wasn't desperately worried the referee could have given them a goal. VAR seemed to be working against us on that day. So they could have got an equaliser, but just as well, I think we could have got an equaliser in the second half as well. Second half of the second half, because we were pushing forward a little bit.
That Costa, I mean, obviously it was chalked off for being offside, but the ball that came in from, was it Oldie? I think it was. Pinpoint. Beautiful pinpoint. And just the way that Costa's taken that, and then he's done those two little chops to get past the defence. I think it would have been like one of our goals of the season when you're taking into account like the assist as well. But obviously Costa had gone slightly early, so we didn't get to see that happen. I would have felt a lot better for the rest of the game had that actually gone in. But you know what? 3 points are 3 points.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful ball. I'm still not fully convinced that it was offside, but they look kind of even to me, like on the same line. And I think in that scenario, you kind of just take the word of the linesman. If they had a better view than the camera angle, that's just what you go with. I saw a few people complaining after the game and to the players and stuff saying, oh, that wasn't an offside goal, you've been robbed. But, you know, I just think go with it. We've got the 3 points at the end of the day. The roof of red card was a bit more conscientious.
So shall we cover those red cards? Let me start with potentially the David Ball card. When I saw that on the replay, my instinct was he's going to cop a red for that. Right, so is it Aldred? Aldred sort of does dive in and down a little bit with his head, but Bawley has his foot so high. And he's obviously kicked him hard enough that he's bleeding. I think that Bawley was maybe a little bit lucky to get away with that. Thoughts?
Yeah, he was lucky. We've seen them give it in the A-League going up to it. I actually don't think he deserved to be sent off, but I wouldn't have been surprised. I think the thing that maybe saved him is that he'd originally had the ball. He'd flicked it over his head. Obviously, it'd gone a bit higher than he thought, and then he went to bring the ball down. Aldrin was actually quite a distance away from him and was nowhere near getting the ball and dived in to get it. And I think David Ball could argue, if we were in court, that he didn't think there was anybody else around. He was in open space and he was just bringing the ball that he had control of, bringing it down. And Aldrin basically was stupid enough to throw himself into that. But his foot contacted his head, and it was very high, it was above the waist. So the rule would probably say that, he could have got a red card for that. So, yeah, I think we're a let off there, a bit of a let off.
Yep, I probably would have given the red card if I was a ref, and I'd be calling for other teams to cop that red card if we were playing against them and one of their players did that. I just think it's a bit careless, to be honest. You should be able to go and for your head into any challenge. I don't think you should be scared to do that, scared that you're going to cop a boot to the face. I would have given a red card. I think he's a bit lucky.
So the second incident, which did lead to a red card after VAR review. So this is to Alex Reefer. Is it Henry Hoare? He stands on. So basically, I think there's initially a foul that's called against Reefer on Hoare, but before that, actually gets caught. I think maybe the whistle hasn't gone. I don't know. Either way, the ball is resting on like the back of Hoare's thigh, and Rufus kicked it off. He's kicked the ball and then he stood on the back of Henry Hoare's thigh. Now, originally, I think it was given as violent conduct, like as in a stamp, but it was downgraded or changed to Oh no, I've forgotten now. Something like reckless play. Basically, let's just say he got it and he's got a one match suspension. I'm not happy about him not being for Mariners, but maybe he deserved it.
Yeah, I think it was a red card. It was difficult, and I can see why you could defend it. The player's on the floor, the ball's on the back of his legs. Rüffer goes to kick the ball away, and then his foot comes down on top of the player's leg. Player takes a little while to react, but he does react, and I don't blame him. It would probably hurt quite a lot. Rüffer's argument would be, well, where else am I going to put my foot? Once I kick that ball away, there's nowhere else for my foot to go. It's just coming down. The other argument is, well, you shouldn't have put your foot in there then if you're in the risk of danger of injuring another player, which you definitely were. It looked really bad in slow motion. Wow, it looked so bad in slow motion, which they kept showing because it looked like he looked like he fought. He kicked the ball away and went, right, I'll have a bit of a stamp here, and stamped on his leg. It's not what it looked like in real time, and that's why the ref didn't initially blow it up. And the whistle went after all of this had happened, so it wasn't after the whistle. Whether the whistle had gone for the original for that foul or the original tackle that Rüffer had made, I'm not sure. But when you get studs on someone, it's very hard to argue that it shouldn't be a red card. But I think the decision was sort of right in giving a one match suspension rather than two. I don't think you can make an argument that he deliberately stamped it in Kevin Muscat style. I think he probably didn't move his foot away, make enough effort to move his foot away, not to stand at him to overturn a red card.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Danny. Originally, I thought it was a bit harsh, but looking back on the replay, I do think there was more that he could have done. He gets the ball. I think he has to go for the ball in that situation. You can't expect him not to go for the ball just because he might injure a player. His main concern is stopping us from conceding a goal. But yeah, he could have kind of toe poked it off his leg. But I don't know if the ball should even get there in the first place. If the ball gets to a place where a player isn't comfortable making a challenge for it without the risk of getting a red card, I think that's where the problem is. Instead of.
Yeah, I've seen a few discussions saying, well, technically that would be obstruction, and so Phoenix should have had an indirect free kick, but it happened pretty quickly. It wasn't like the situation you see where someone sort of sat on the floor with the ball between their legs. It just dropped, landed on his legs. Rüffer went for it straight away, and then ended up stamping on him. So it was tough, and we're definitely going to miss him really badly. I can't imagine us playing without Rüffer in such an important game as we've got coming up. It's going to be really tough, and will very much change the way we set up having to play that game.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I can see why it's given. I can see the argument that he wasn't trying to intentionally stamp, but you do make a good point that he also didn't do a particularly good job of trying to whip his foot back out of the way when he was going down. So it is what it is. I think this is the worst game of the season for him to be out. We will just have to deal with that. Will Tim Payne be back? Do we know?
I don't think so. I think Tim Payne and Isaac Hughes were out for two games, including the international break. So we're quite low on defenders, especially. And if we want to switch to a back five, that you kind of think that's all of our defenders starting. And I don't know, you might have Matt Sheridan off the bench if you start Salas, but it's very bare bones.
I would imagine
Yeah.
he'll start Sheridan at right back and put Salas in midfield with Altai and Pennington as the three across there. I think Anna Figg will play five at the back. I think Kelly Heald will come in with Sutton. Sorry, mind blank. Sutton going outside him as well. Sutton's done really well, I think, in the last few games, and I think he's proven himself that he should be in there. But Kelly Heald, I think, will come in since the Hughes is still injured. Kelly Heald will come in at the back five. And I think we'll have quite a defensive midfield, which would be Salas, Pennington, and Altai. Because the only real option we have is probably Finn Conchie, who's probably the most like for like for Rüffer. Not sure Chiefy will start him in a game this important, but I think he possibly would start Matt Sheridan. He did very well when he came on, I thought. And I think Chiefy's more likely to trust a defender than he is a new defender, a rookie defender, than he is to trust a rookie midfielder.
Conchie's had more match minutes though, hasn't he, than Sheridan? Although it's much of a muchness, to be honest. There's not.
I don't think
Conte had that one start. He had that one start against MacArthur, I think, and he was played in more of an attacking role. He was making a few late runs into the box or into the second half because we were playing on the counter. I'm not sure if he would play in that sixth position, to be honest. I know he has played there before, but he hasn't really for the Phoenix.
Yeah, that position is so important in terms of just masterminding the game and looking at tempo, where you're playing and when to go forward and when to go back. It's a huge responsibility to put on someone like Conchi. I think you're more likely to see Pennington sitting in that role, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, Pennington has this habit of sometimes coughing the ball up more often than he should, but I'd rather have him and Altai sort of working together in that space potentially. But yeah, no one's as good as Roofs. One of the things about like the game coming up is that we are facing a lot harder opposition in our remaining matches than Mariners are. So Mariners have us, obviously. But after that, they've got Western, who are bottom, Adelaide, who are near bottom, and Jets, who are second last. They do have two AFC Cup matches in there. One of them is one they have to travel to, wherever that is going to be. Abdish Atta, don't know what club that is.
Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan. So hopefully that does tire them out. But we've got a much more difficult run because we've got probably worst of all, we've got Victory during that time. And MacArthur I'm less worried about. But Victory would be... We've got a harder run in. I'm just so terrified. Every time I look at the table and I see us... where we are, like, I've never been so stressed watching a sports team in my life. I don't think just like
that. The result the other night, well, last night between Victory and Central Coast, that last goal was an absolute killer. It was an absolute killer for us. Before that game, I was pretty hopeful. I think, you know, in my head, yeah, I think we're going to finish top. But yeah, after that, I'm just looking at the table now, and it's like, yeah, if we lose to Mariners, we're not finishing top. Mariners, I think, will go on and they'll get the results out of those last three games, which, as you say, are really easy. We've got one, you could say, easy-ish game, Newcastle away, but it's still Jets, away.
Yeah,
we've got MacArthur at home. We're normally pretty good against MacArthur, but then we've got Victory away. And that, you know, we never get a result there, so we'd be lucky.
No, Victory home.
Victory home.
Victory's at home. Yeah, okay. That helps.
Bit better.
But I watched that bloody Melbourne City... Mariners game. How do you have such a good squad and like they aren't even going to make finals probably at this point? Like, I think they still can, but there's a good chance that they don't. And it's just like, man, the one match that they
and they had so many chances as well. Their finishing was awful. Shocking. They should have been light years away. Central Coast never should have been anywhere close to it, so it makes it even harder. So that was a killer. Did not enjoy that at all.
Like, it was in the, like, stoppage time. The kid hadn't even scored a goal yet in the A-League. Like, anyway, so City, not helpful. But
there is some hope in that the Mariners have kind of begun signs of faltering in their last few games. You know, the last few games, 0-0 to Odisha FC. I think that's Roy Christian's club. And previously they've beaten them 4-0. So I don't know if it was a rotated squad or whatever, or they didn't feel the need to really try because they were already 4-0 up in the aggregate. But and then in addition to that, there's the 2-0 loss against Sydney FC, which was amazing to watch. I love that game. And then obviously the 2-1 win over Melbourne City last night, which was very close to a 1-1 draw.
Yep, they've definitely fallen away a little bit, and hopefully the AFC Cup can hurt them, but also we've not been particularly impressive either. So I think we're sort of on a similar sort of trajectory to them. You could say we had our period when we were just actually flying, and now the results we're getting are not hugely convincing. We're winning, but we're not winning by a huge amount, holding on a bit here and there, and missing Roofer and Payne as well. If we miss Payne again, that takes out a large portion of our attacking threat, basically. Payne going up the right is really important for us, especially when we're sort of relying on breakaways, which we tend to do, and we will do against Central Coast as well, because he's got that speed and that motor to get up and down the flank. So we're going to miss him. I think against Central Coast, we'll be playing five at the back, a defensive midfield. We're just going to rely on long balls to Costa. And Costa needs to just pick up on one of those and hopefully score them. I don't think we're going to be going all out at all. It's going to be, you know, aim for a draw and hope for a win, I imagine, from Chiefy.
I mean, look, we do have 3 points on them. Like, so if we do lose on Saturday, they will only be ahead on wins. Would be on equal on points. So, look, I mean, with the run that we've got in, I wouldn't be super hopeful that we could necessarily catch them, but it's not necessarily the end of the world. A draw would not be so bad. A draw would be manageable, and they wouldn't get a win. I would, yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Stoked. I'd be very happy with a draw if that's all we could get.
It's nice to be in a position where we gutted about finished second in the table at the end of the year, if that's what it is. It's only because we've been at top so much, so. A draw I would take. It would keep us 2 points ahead of them. 3 points ahead of them. And we've got three games left. So, and then it will be, you know, it'll be in our hands still. And that's all you can get hope for, I guess. But yes, definitely getting to squeaky bum time.
All right. Any further comments, Knicks related? Nope.
Oh, Oscar Zavada is out. He's had an aggravation of his thigh, contusion, I think is the word. So he's out until semi-finals. Hopefully he will be back in, but who knows? We've been saying that all season, but it's just confirmation that we won't have him back for the regular season, which is a bit of a shame. But we've been doing fine without him. So
I think just on an upbeat note, I think the results this weekend made sure that we definitely have qualified for the finals, like mathematically, which, yeah, well, that's a good thing. Normally we're pretty happy to make finals, so we've made it with a few games to spare. So, and I think we only need one more win or something like that to actually guarantee a home final as well. So.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone for joining us. We'll be on YouTube and all of the regular podcast platforms as well. We'll be back to chat the Central Coast Mariners game at some stage. If you can make it to the game in Gosford, please do come. Please do sit with us. It'll be a great game, no matter the result. All right. Bye.